In the midst of growing concern and questions surrounding the Obama administration's drone program targeting terrorist suspects abroad and a widespread hunger strike by detainees at the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, the president addressed the nation in a speech at the Defense University in Washington, D.C. on May 23rd. While justifying the conduct of the U.S. war against terrorism under his watch, Mr. Obama called for the eventual repeal of the post-9/11-2001 authorization for the use of military force that, he said, promotes a perpetual wartime footing and may give presidents too much power. The president admitted and then defended the U.S. drone strikes that have killed four American citizens as he proposed tighter restrictions on the future use of drones to reduce civilian casualties. Mr. Obama also outlined his plans to make good on his unfulfilled 2008 campaign pledge to close the Guantanamo Bay prison by lifting his own moratorium of transferring detainees to Yemen and appointing a new senior envoy to negotiate the release of additional prisoners to other nations. At several points in the speech, peace activist Medea Benjamin of the group Code Pink interrupted the president to condemn the government's drone program, to which Mr. Obama responded by saying, although he disagreed with her, that woman is worth paying attention to. Congressional Republicans were predictably critical of the president's revamping of counterterrorism policy. Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, declared, "The president's speech will be viewed by terrorists as a victory." Your reporter spoke with Matt Southworth, an Iraq War veteran and board member of the group Veterans for Peace, who takes a critical look at President Obama's recent speech reframing U.S. counterterrorism strategy.
The president's speech was both disappointing and sort of impressive. He spoke at times with candor. And so there is a group of people for which no matter what the president says on these policies, it'll never be good enough. And when I listen, and that's both Republican and Democrat, Libertarian, you know, the whole lot. And when I listen to the president speak, I heard a lot of things that he said that, to me, to my mind, weren't accurate. The first I'd take on is to say that the president essentially said he had this premise that using drones and these counterterrorism policies would somehow prevent future civilian casualties. And I think that is counterfactual, meaning that you can't prove it because it relies on things that haven't happened yet to prove that it's true. So now, to be fair, what I say about why the U.S. shouldn't use drones is the fact that we will radicalize people, and not just drones, but war in general will radicalize people, push people further to the fringes of their own culture and societies, and create and foment this anti-American sentiment. Now, what I have that President Obama doesn't have is a Yemeni activist and many, many others, but most notably a Yemeni activist who recently testified to Congress, to the Senate Judiciary Committee, that the drone strikes in his village had done more to radicalize people in Yemen than Al-Qaeda propaganda ever had. This was Faria al-Muslimi, who's, again, a Yemeni journalist and activist. So that's one thing. I think, you know, the president's counterterrorism policy based on this premise that we, by engaging in these military maneuvers, we are somehow preventing future conflict or greater civilian casualties, I think it's just false, and it's a highly flawed assumption. The other thing I'd say, the president said that Congress exercises oversight and that Congress is briefed on every drone strike. Well, that's not completely true. The DOD does voluntarily brief, and the CIA does voluntarily brief certain members of Congress on certain committees, most notably the House and Senate Armed Service and the House and Senate Intelligence, or the Joint Select Intelligence Committee. But the vast majority of Congress, you know, right there you're talking about maybe 100 members or so altogether, the vast majority of Congress, House and Senate, does not receive briefings on these drone strikes. And by the way, when the people who are briefed get their briefings, they're sworn to secrecy because it's all top secret. So it's not like they can go and sit in a room somewhere and talk about this with other members. This is really a very small group of people who know about this thing. So that, again, is highly problematic and is not indicative of true oversight. You know, and the last thing I would say is that the president dropped a lot of important language from this aspect of his counterterrorism speech that he had before. In the past, the administration has said they only use lethal force on key Al-Qaeda leaders. And McClatchy News actually did a really good debrief of this. The president dropped that key leadership of al-Qaeda language completely and only named associated forces. Now, the authorization of the use of military force, or AMF, which was passed in 2001, authorizes the president to take action against nations harboring or affiliates, people who conducted the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Over the last 4, 5, 6 years or so, we've seen this policy morph into al-Qaeda not only in Afghanistan, but al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, al-Qaeda in Iraq, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, groups that aren't associated with al-Qaeda like al-Shabaab in Somalia and a handful of other places. And these groups are typically known as associated forces, which is to say, as far as we know, there are no clear links to al-Qaeda, the actual organization, but ideological affiliation. And effectively, what this comes down to, this associated forces language, comes down to the fact that the president has used the AUMF, the 2001 law, to justify military action all over the world in just about any place that they deem fit, as long as there's an associated force and an imminent threat. And imminent means that essentially the administration doesn't need evidence, and imminent can be any period of time. Senator Angus King from Maine, in the Armed Service Committee hearing a week ago on the AUMF, really took down administration witnesses on this. He said that you've essentially made up the language associated forces. So all of this was contained in this very long, very complex speech. And what it really comes down to is that these laws, three, and just three of many, are very substantial and I think need to be addressed not by just by Congress, but also by the administration.
Matt, the president also talked about closing the Guantanamo U.S. Naval Detention Center in Cuba. Do you think this is just rhetoric, or do you think this time the president and his administration will move substantively to close that facility?
You know, I think the administration actually made moves early on to start transferring detainees out of Guantanamo. They moved a number of prisoners out. Really, since the start of the Obama administration, there were 242 prisoners in Guantanamo. Right now, there are about 166. So the president has made moves. I think Congress made that much more difficult. The Republican Party in the House, particularly on the Armed Service Committee, made it incredibly difficult for the president to transfer current detainees to Yemen and other countries or to the United States. The president does have the authority to take more action than he has. You know, I don't sit inside the office, but I'm not sure if it's because of political reasons or for some other reason. The president has been slow on this, but I think the president could definitely move a little faster. From my point of view, it is morally reprehensible that some of these people who have been essentially acquitted are still locked up in prison to the point that they are so hopeless, they're engaged in a hunger strike, literally putting their lives on the line because it's all they have left. I've read the bios and some of these articles, and it's really just heart-wrenching. I was pleased to see the president using his executive powers to lift some of the transfer memoranda on detainees toward Yemen. I think those are all positive steps in the right direction. I think history will look back on Guantanamo Bay as a really dark part of the U.S. history in this global long term. There are a lot of dark places, but that's going to be a particularly dark one.
That was Matt Southworth, an Iraq War veteran, board member of the group Veterans for Peace, and legislative associate with the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Find links to Southworth's recent articles on U.S. wars abroad by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.